NPR.
National debt. Since the COVID pandemic began, our national debt has ballooned. And a lot of people have started expressing a lot of worry about how much debt our country is in.
Of course, debt is really in the United States' DNA. The U.S. government had to borrow millions of dollars to fight off the British, and it's been in debt consistently ever since.
Well, except for this one time.
That is true. There was this time President Andrew Jackson paid off all the debt, down to zero. Anne Daly studies this time period. She's a historian at Mississippi State University and a fellow at the American Antiquarian Society.
What is an antiquarian society?
Oh, my God. It's where I am. It's the third oldest historical society in the U.S. It was founded in 1811. And when COVID hit, they sent us an email that was like, we survived the War of 1812. We're going to be fine.
And less than 20 years after this War of 1812 is when our story begins.
Yes, Andrew Jackson was elected president in 1829. And one of his main campaign promises, getting rid of the national debt. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Darian Woods. Today on the show, the amazing tale of how President Andrew Jackson paid off all of the country's debt.
And why probably no president will ever try that again.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Fundrise, making investing in private real estate as easy as investing in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. Build a more diversified portfolio today at Fundrise, FUNDRISE.com/indicator. This message comes from NPR sponsor Odoo. Odoo is a suite of user-friendly business applications designed to automate, streamline, and simplify every aspect of your business from anywhere at any time. For a free trial, go to odoo.com/indicator.
The national debt. A lot of people in the U.S. have very strong feelings about it. But back in the 1800s, historian Anne Daly says people were obsessed.
That's all anybody talked about back then.
Really?
If you look at a newspaper from the 1830s, this is all over the place. It's what they talked about over dinner with their families. It affected the kind of people that you hung out with. Everyone had an opinion on this stuff.
Including presidential hopeful Andrew Jackson. Paying down the debt was one of the centerpieces of his run for president. He called it the national curse.
For Jackson and Democrats, there is this real belief that there's a group of capitalists in the U.S. and particularly in Europe who, through the debt, really have a stranglehold on American politics and on the government. And it means that the government can't be as responsive to the people. Now, this is like kind of ridiculous because their version of the people is really only like white men. But at least according to their belief, that the problem with the national debt is it means the government is responsive to capitalists and financiers and not free white men.
When Andrew Jackson took office, the U.S. was about $58 million in debt. That's roughly $2 billion of today's dollars. And the second that Jackson got into office, he went to work figuring out how to get the U.S. out of debt. And he did this in three main ways.
First, collecting really high taxes. Back then, there wasn't an income tax. The government made almost all its money taxing imports. Tariffs.
In 1828, there's this really high tariff that's passed.
How high was this tariff?
38% to 45% on imported goods.
Oh, wow. That is
really high.
Major. Okay.
Really high. The Southerners call it the tariff of abominations.
The second thing President Jackson did was get the government deeply into the land selling business. A lot of that land was either seized from Native American tribes or obtained through coercive treaties. And selling that land became a major source of revenue for the federal government.
The third step for Jackson's debt paydown, he vetoed spending bills left and right.
A bill to build new roads in the South? Vetoed.
A bill to construct a bunch of new lighthouses along the coast? Vetoed as well.
A bill to widen a canal in Kentucky? Vetoed. All of that money was funneled into paying down the debt.
I thought this figure was astonishing. So in 1832, the federal government put $18 million towards debt service and $16.5 million towards all other federal spending. So more than half of federal spending is going towards paying off the debt.
And after 6 years of selling land, taxing imports, and rejecting spending bills, Andrew Jackson finally makes it happen.
He, like, paid it down to zero? Like, literally?
January 1st, 1835.
New Year's Day?
That is when the last set of bonds had matured. So he actually can't pay the debt off any earlier. The bonds aren't due. But January 1st, 1835, the Treasury is finally able to pay off the last of the bonds.
Government bonds. So government bonds are essentially little loans between the government and the people who buy the bonds.
U.S. Treasury bonds are one of the most popular investments on the planet. They're seen as super safe. But if a government is not going to have any debt, it can't issue bonds. So the government stopped issuing bonds and it paid off the ones that were still outstanding.
And at the stroke of midnight on January 1st, 1835, it was official. The U.S. was debt-free.
And there's this huge party where everyone in Washington gets together and people are giving speeches about, you know, how it's this new day for the United States.
It was a very short new day.
So we pay off the debt January 1st, 1835. In the middle of May of 1837, an enormous financial crisis strikes.
From hero to less than zero in less than 2 years. What the heck happened here?
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting.
So after the debt is paid off, the federal government is in this position it's never been in before. It has extra money. So President Jackson decides that this extra money should go back to the people. So he divides it up between the states and puts that money in a bunch of state-level banks. Those banks turn around and start investing that money and lending it out and printing up money as fast as they can.
And it fuels this big credit bubble. Banks are sort of issuing money with wild abandon.
And at the same time, says Anne, the main safe haven investment is gone. As we said, with no debt, the government bond is no more.
There's this very secure place for investors to keep their money. Federal bonds, the government always pays. It pays reliably. It pays on time. And when that isn't there anymore, they're forced into these riskier and riskier expenses. And you increase the level of risk in the whole system.
And at that time, putting your money in the bank wasn't always safe. Banks used to fail all the time and people would lose everything. And without government bonds, people just didn't have a lot of safe places to put their money. So they started putting it into these investment schemes, things like land and railroads and bridges and roads, all this speculation. Prices for everything started rising and rising.
The economy basically goes crazy. It's a complete mania. That's what people call it. And so you have this big bubble, and then you have this burst.
That burst was the Panic of 1837, one of the worst economic depressions in the country's history. Half of the banks in the country failed.
Companies closed. People were literally starving. The economy just collapsed.
So why did this happen?
Anne thinks part of the reason is that, at its core, debt is a relationship of mutual trust that is kind of like a load-bearing beam of the whole economy.
Buying a government bond does two things. For the person who buys the bond, it gives them a stake in the stability and prosperity of the government.
And for the government, it gives it this great responsibility to spend that money wisely so that it can be sure to pay back the people who invested in it. And that in turn makes bonds this incredibly safe place to put money. It is, you know, Darian, quite literally a bond between the government and the people. That's actually the origin of the word. It sounds cheesy, but it's actually the origin of the word.
This isn't a pun. These are actually related words.
It's not a pun. This is not a pun.
Government debt is really a secure anchor for an economy.
Without that anchor, says Anne, the economy drifted and overheated. And it was really destructive. The depression kicked off by the Panic of 1837 lasted for 5 years.
The federal government does have to start borrowing again, and we've been in debt ever since.
Right now, of course, we are in a record amount of debt, about $28 trillion. U.S. government bonds, though, remain one of the most popular and trusted investments on Earth. This episode of The Indicator was produced by Brittany Cronin with help from Andy Huether. It was fact-checked by Michael Huh. The Indicator's edited by Kate Concannon and is a production of NPR.